Good Saturday morning to you. This is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I am an employee of RBC Wealth Management as a financial consultant downtown Minneapolis. And on this show, we talk about investing. We look at investing and investing opportunities through the lens of socially responsible investing. We look for strong companies who are good corporate neighbors, who are least likely to give investors surprises due to non-financial performance news. We look for good corporate neighbors that are most likely to have done some careful corporate soul searching as to responsible, sustainable corporate values and put them into practice, and companies that are most likely to have initiated philanthropic practices intended to do good societal good beyond the company's literal footprint, beyond the business they're normally in. And today we'll take a fairly in-depth look at one of the best corporate neighbors in the global business world, RBC. Now, RBC has received a lot of acclaim for a lot of years. This year, RBC was included in the Global 100 Top Sustainable Companies in the World, the 2010 Globe Corporate Award for Environmental Excellence, the 2009-2010 Dow Jones Global Sustainability Index, and the Dow Jones North American Sustainability Index. And you'll find the link to the Sustainability Index on my website, michaelwmullins.com. Go to the Responsible Investing tab and look for the link to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. RBC was included in the JANSI Social Index, the FTSE for Good Indexes, for those of you who know what those things are, the Carbon Disclosure Project Canadian Leadership Index, and the 2010 Catalyst Award for Advancing Women and Other Diverse Groups. RBC has received recognition as one of Canada's best diversity employers for 2010, one of Canada's most socially responsible corporations, one of the best workplaces in Canada, and one of Canada's greenest employers for 2010. Yesterday, RBC hosted its first ever Blue Water Day, recognizing the company's grants and gifts of over $21 million to organizations that are leading the drive to protect the world's watersheds and provide or ensure access to clean drinking water. And RBC has actually pledged $50 million between 2007 and 2017 to these causes. Today we'll talk with John Taft, the CEO of RBC U.S. Wealth Management and Chair-Elect of SIFMA, Lynn Patterson, RBC Director of Corporate Responsibility, and Peter Gove, past Chairman of the Board of the nonprofit Friends of the Mississippi River. And let me introduce John Taft. He's the CEO of RBC U.S. Wealth Management. He's the Chair-Elect of the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, that's the SIFMA, the leading securities industry trade group representing securities firms, banks, and asset management companies in the U.S. and Asia. John has been in the financial services industry since 1981. In January 2010, John was named the Outstanding Corporate Diversity Leader by the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. John, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. And Mike, let me just compliment you on having a show that focuses on socially responsible investing. I don't know how many colleagues you have who are doing this kind of work, but there can't be that many, and it's very important. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. And I take that as a big compliment coming from you because you are my boss's boss.
There you go.
I think I got that right. I think that's enough bosses. Well, I just reviewed an exhaustive list of awards and recognitions RBC has received. All of these can be seen as broad recognition of RBC as a global good citizen, but beyond that, a shining example of sustainability and stewardship. How does this all fit together in the corporate world?
Well, let me start by saying that RBC Wealth Management, the division of RBC you and I both work for, and RBC Financial Group, our corporate parent, which is a universal bank in banking, capital markets, wealth management, insurance businesses, are both in the stewardship business. Our mission is a stewardship mission. And stewardship is one of those words that people throw around, like the word hedge fund. It means different things to different people. But if you go to the People's Dictionary, which is today Wikipedia, and you look up stewardship, there's a pretty good definition there that I think most people would share, and it's the responsible management of what others have entrusted to your care. That pretty much sums up what we are on earth to do. And if you're going to be a responsible steward, it's pretty hard to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a responsible steward in these three categories of activities, and I'm not going to worry about stewardship in these categories of activities. In other words, if you're going to be a responsible steward, it pretty much has to be a holistic undertaking, and you have to walk the stewardship talk in everything that you do. And one of the things that I'm proudest of is the way that RBC has done that. Now, we think of our stewardship responsibilities in terms of four pillars. You know, we think of it in terms of our responsibility to our clients. We think of it in terms of our responsibility to our employees. We think of it in terms of our responsibility to the communities in which our employees and clients live and work. And we think about it in terms of our responsibility to the environment. And really, the way this all works is that, you know, we are, as a financial services firm, narrowly stewards, responsibly managing client assets. But we are also, you know, more broadly stewards. And when you think about stewardship in that broader context, you really come up with something that might almost look, smell, and feel like a golden rule. And the way I think about it, the golden rule of stewardship really comes down to leave the world a better place than you found it, from the perspective of your clients, your employees, the communities in which you have a presence, and the environment. And that, Mike, is a long-winded answer to your question, what ties this all together? What ties it all together are the stewardship values that we try to live by, and if you want to express those as broadly as possible, it's leave the world a better place. That's what supports and is behind all the different awards you described at the beginning of this segment.
Very good. You know, speaking of the environment, there are a lot of problems in the environment, in the physical environment, in the world, and how these problems impact human beings in Canada and the United States and around the world. Now, I just mentioned the Blue Water Project. We had our first Blue Water Day yesterday. How does that fit in the Blue Water Project into what you're talking about, the stewardship?
Well, it's interesting because I had somebody make the point to me yesterday. Said this is a pretty lousy time to be, you know, touting your support for clean water with what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. And wow. I looked at them and I said, "Well, it's exactly the right time to be focusing on clean water with what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico." Now, the Blue Water Project really is more about, you know, surface water and watersheds than it is the ocean. So there is a distinction. But it's not surprising that a Canadian company, RBC, would think about doing something for water. It's one of the world's most precious resources, and it's under severe pressure in all parts of the world right now. Maintaining the quality of water is one of the most urgent environmental priorities. You know, about 8% of Canada is covered by lakes. It's more lake area than any other country in the world. So, you know, it's not surprising that Canadians would think about preserving clean water. But when you think about stewardship broadly, and you think about leaving the world a better place than you found it, you know, the earth and the resources on the earth are really God's dominion. We have been given responsibility for leaving those resources better off than we found them. Quite frankly, we are not doing a very good job of that right now. And that's in one area. No one company can address all the world's resource problems at the same time. RBC has decided to pick a very narrow but very important environmental issue, clean water, and to focus its limited resources, which are still meaningful, $50 million, on that specific problem.
Yes. Well, going forward as CEO, how do you intend to lead RBC U.S. Wealth Management and doing our part to maintain the discipline to continue to address the Blue Water issue?
I don't have to. our employees and our clients are forcing us to. You know, I was the aide to the mayor of St. Paul in the 80s, George Latimer, and he had a little cartoon under on his desk, and it was a picture of a politician running after a crowd of people, and the caption was, "There they go, people or my subjects or whatever. I must follow them because I am their leader." As CEO, I just follow my employees, and I just listen to and respond to my clients. And they are telling us every day that as a corporation, they expect us to focus on the things that you talked about early in the broadcast, the responsible stewardship issues. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of energy today around those issues. Particularly, you know this, being in the world of socially responsible investing, increasingly, not just institutions, but high net worth individuals are coming to us and saying, look, I will do business with you, but I want you to prove that you share my values. And I want to see, you know, day-to-day tangible evidence that in the areas that I care about, you are living out the values that I think are important. Then I'll give you my money. So all I have to do is stand aside and channel the energy and the focus that others are bringing to the table.
That's an outstanding answer. And as I said at the beginning of this segment, this is a highly recognized company for being a good corporate neighbor, the kind of company that's least likely to give investors a surprise, most likely to have done some careful corporate soul searching as to responsible, sustainable corporate values, and most likely to have initiated philanthropic practices intended to do societal good beyond the company's literal footprint. I think your examples about stewardship are right on the money. John, thank you very much. This has
thank
been
you,
John
Mike.
John Taft, the CEO of RBC U.S. Wealth Management, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible, environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
Leaky pipes, clogged drains, toilet or faucet won't stop running, and this is after your bathroom remodel? You should have called Artisan Plumbing. Union members, skilled professionals, artisans with the experience and dedication to get the job done the way you want it done. Historic home renovations, energy-efficient water heater upgrades, emergency leak repairs, or improvement to your kitchen and bath space. Call 952-232-6392. They excel at solving issues with old plumbing systems. 952-232-6392, where quality is not a pipe dream.
Stop by AM950's offices anytime during regular business hours and check out Solar Midwest solar tubes that are filling our offices with natural daylight. We've turned off our artificial lights and brightened every cubicle, the entryway, conference room, even the bathrooms. Learn why Solar Midwest solar tube and Solar Star attic fan are so revolutionary that they qualify for a 30% tax credit. Visit their showroom in Plymouth and talk directly to Tom, the owner, or go online at solarmidwest.com.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
This is Bob McHale from Out of the Box Radio. It's been a challenging time for a lot of people. Where do you turn? What resource people do you contact when you're not sure how to get your bills paid? When there's not enough money to go around? When you cannot make ends meet? Join us on Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. for Out of the Box Radio.
I'm Colleen Buckman.
And I'm Susan Shahada with Raising the Consciousness, Simple Solutions for Conscious Living. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. to discuss the mind-body-spirit connection, the artist's voice as a path to change, and the important spaces in our lives.
Raising the Consciousness, Sundays at 1 p.m. brought to you by Sacred Rearrangement Shop and Healing Center in Uptown Minneapolis and Fairtrade Ohm, a conscious philanthropic production company, online at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
There's that great Laura Caviani music. Thanks, Laura, for your contribution to the show. This is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show here on AM 950. In our last segment, we spoke with John Taft, who is the CEO of RBC U.S. Wealth Management. And John spoke about the stewardship mission of the corporation and why RBC is focused on clean water. And we mentioned RBC's Blue Water Project. Now, as background, on my website, which is michaelwmullins.com, on the homepage, on the right side, there's a box that says bulletin board, and there is a line that says, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. This is a white paper that was written by the RBC Investment Committee a couple of years ago, and it is extremely interesting reading for those of you who would like to get the overview of what's going on in the world, because nothing really has changed. We still have the same problems. And RBC has a Blue Water Project that was launched in 2007 to address the global water crisis. And my guest is Lynn Patterson, the Director of Corporate Responsibility for RBC and oversees the company's global corporate responsibility strategy. She's been the managing editor of RBC's annual Corporate Responsibility Report since 1999 and oversees the company's sustainability reporting. She's responsible for strategy and communications for the RBC Blue Water Project. More than 20 years experience in corporate communications, and sort of an interesting little sideline, she was a member of the Board Advisory Committee on Sustainability for the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Games. I'll bet that was interesting, Lynn.
It was life-changing. It was amazing.
That's great. Like to hear more about that on another show. We'll do a show about the Olympics probably sometime, and then we'll come back to you for that.
Oh, we'd be happy to be part of that.
That'd be outstanding. Well, today I'd like to talk about the global water crisis and what RBC has been doing to help provide solutions. This is a company, as John said, that focuses on stewardship. And what specifically is RBC doing with the Blue Water Project?
Well, I think you mentioned that we launched the Blue Water Project back in 2007. We were really looking for an environmental cause to throw our weight behind that would be relevant for our employees and businesses around the world. We're known in Canada, very well known in Canada as a retail bank, but we're in 54 countries around the world with 80,000 employees. So we wanted to pick some cause that all of our employees could rally behind and all of our businesses around the world. And it felt to us like, well, everybody's got water. Everybody needs water. There are water issues everywhere. It's really ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, what can we do as a financial services company? And right away we thought, of course, financial services company has to do with money. So we announced a charitable grant program of $50 million over 10 years. And what we wanted to do with this program was support some of the best organizations or the best non-government organizations doing work in watershed protection. Mm-hmm. And so since then, we've really made it our business to learn about who's doing all the good work and to open up our grants program to those organizations. So we've got a request for proposal process. And to date, we've given and committed something like $21 million Canadian dollars to 200 organizations worldwide. It's amazing, this network of folks working on it. You wouldn't know they were there until you started to ask about it, and all of a sudden there they are out of the woodwork, 200 great organizations worldwide. I did a count this morning. There's 50 of them that we're working with in the United States alone.
50. Wow.
Yeah.
Any in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, we've got one, the Friends of the Mississippi River, which is based in St. Paul. We're our first two-time grant recipient in the United States, so we're really proud of our relationship with them. And they've got a great community outreach and education program to help landowners restore and protect sensitive areas.
Right along the Mississippi River.
Yeah, along the Mississippi River, absolutely.
Yeah.
That kind of help and support and sustaining riverbanks, really very important environmentally and for the economy as well.
Well, it's important for those of us that live in the Twin Cities because the Mississippi River provides 100% of the water that we use in Minneapolis and the vast majority in St. Paul, although St. Paul has some deep wells that they also use. So the whole idea of having the watersheds managed and supervised and cleaned up and the river itself is important. A couple of weeks ago, we had Whitney Clark, the director, executive director of the Friends of the Mississippi River, on the show. And we talked about the problem with urban runoff, and he said that really the biggest problem in the Mississippi is the non-point runoff, the groundwater from farms and the like, where there's chemicals that leach into the soil, which eventually makes its way into the river. And Friends of the Mississippi was the organization. Yesterday we had the Blue Water Day, and about 100 people from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area that work for RBC volunteered to go work at Crosby Park area in St. Paul to help clean up around the Mississippi River. That was a wonderful experience for us to have. Is RBC going to continue to do this beyond the $50 million? How will that happen?
Yeah, and you know, for Blue Water Day, which was yesterday, June the 11th, we've got employees all over the world, you know, strapping on rubber boots and rolling up their sleeves and doing rivershed cleanups, absolutely.
All over the place, right.
Yeah, we're planning absolutely to engage our employees fully as the rest of the 10 years go by. I think it's interesting what you mentioned about agricultural runoff in the United States. I read something from the EPA that said that is the leading source of water pollution in the United States, and it's the number two source in Canada as well. So a lot of the grants that we're giving are to organizations that are helping the agricultural sector think about how it manages its water and runoff issues. So really, mm-hmm. really important. Agriculture uses something like 70% of the fresh water in the world.
Right. So. Yeah, it's amazing how much water is used for things other than human beings drinking it. I think industrial production use is also a pretty big number, is it not?
It's immense. I think 20% of fresh water is used through companies, right, for their manufacturing processes, for the production of energy, especially the connection between water and energy is very, very tight, and lots of people don't know that, mm-hmm. that it takes water to create energy, and it takes energy to clean and move water around our cities as well.
John mentioned there were four pillars of stewardship, is the way he sees it. The four pillars: one would be responsibility to clients, the second is to employees, to the communities where our employees work and live and where we have our businesses, and then to the environment. Now, we just spoke about the environment briefly, but thinking about employees, it seems to me that when you have something like a Blue Water Project, speaking of as me as an RBC employee, mm-hmm. I find it so energizing to be involved with a company, be working with and for a company that sees themselves as having this role in the world. I just think it's terrific.
Well, you know, I did some research last year about the RBC Blue Water Project with our employees and asked them, has the fact that we're involved in this really important cause and the fact that RBC's got a good reputation as a corporate citizen, has it helped you attract and retain business? And to a person, employees said loud and proud, absolutely, it helps us attract and retain business. And I've been working at RBC for 18 years now, mm-hmm. and I've never seen employees embrace anything the way they have this. And I think it's because water is so ubiquitous and so valuable and so vulnerable, and everybody, you just have to pick up a newspaper and see what some of the issues are in your own community, that it's relevant to everybody wherever we do business. And sometimes we see in the corporate world, you feel like you have to push things down to your employees and push things out to your employees. This one, our employees are grabbing on full force to mm-hmm. do what they can.
Well, I can certainly vouch for that.
Yeah, it makes me really proud to work here, I'll tell you that. It must you too.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I think the bigger picture here is I talk about looking for good companies that are good corporate neighbors, that don't give you pieces of information that are non-financial. We look for companies that are most likely to have initiated philanthropic practices that are intended to do good. And the point we're making here, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's good for the environment, it's good for the world, but it's good for the soul of the company as well. And my guess is that there are a lot of people that work for RBC, and we'll talk about other companies in the future. We're starting with RBC today, and in the future we'll talk about other good neighbors. But it makes for good business. It's just good business to be a good corporate citizen. Well, I'd like to thank Lynn Patterson for being on the show. She is the Director of Corporate Responsibility for RBC and oversees the Blue Water Project. Lynn, thanks very much for the information, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future. We will be back in a couple of minutes with our next segment.
Are you suffering from what doctors call the debt stress syndrome? If you're experiencing stress symptoms related to your financial situation, you are eligible to receive a free CD showing you the path to a debt-free, stress-free life. It's a fact that living with debts, including a mortgage, can cause stress for you, your marriage, and your family. Our free CD can help. Call 1-800-600-1195. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth System. If you are in debt, the stress it causes can be almost impossible to bear. But my proven system can eliminate all of your debts, even your mortgage, using just the money you already make. Imagine, no credit card debt, no car payments, not even a mortgage. It's easy, it works, and I've already shown more than 2 million people how. So if you are experiencing the very real symptoms of debt stress syndrome, then you're eligible to receive my free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-600-1195. That's 1-800-600-1195.
When you support the advertisers that support this station, you're doing a good thing. Not only are you supporting local small businesses, you're investing in your community and the future of this great state. And if for some reason you find a business that doesn't advertise on AM 950, tell them that they're missing out on the most influential and loyal listeners in the Twin Cities. For a complete list of businesses that support this station, or to find out how you can get an AM 950 bumper sticker, visit am950ktnf.com.
Hard-hitting interviews, news-making guests, and incisive analysis. It's on Meet the Press this Sunday. We invite you to tune in this week for the very best in political debate. Exclusive interviews with the world's newsmakers and roundtable discussions with the leaders in the fields of journalism, politics, and history. If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. Sunday nights from 5 to 6 on AM 950, the voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Kathy Hauser, and I'm the host of Radio Cafe. Every Saturday here at 2 o'clock on AM 950, this coming Saturday, I'm going to have Jim Walsh. He's owner of Vineland Tree Care. It's that time of year, emerald ash borer, insects, etc. Do you have a deep root problem? Jim's going to help us figure out how to fix all this stuff in our beautiful yards. That's next Saturday at 2 o'clock here on Radio Cafe, sponsored by Amore Coffee. 917 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, and now in West St. Paul at 879 Smith Avenue. See you at the cafe.
Tutoring isn't just for struggling students. Tutoring has benefits for even the most gifted students. At Wizard Academy, we motivate as much as we teach. Our goal is to help students gain confidence and learn new skills so they can excel at school, at home, and in the future. Call today to schedule a free evaluation to identify your students' strengths and challenges. Call the Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie at 952-224-2294. That's 952-224-2294. Wizard Academy, tutoring that works.
This look at AM 950 weather brought to you by Aloft Minneapolis Hotel. For today, cloudy skies, 40% chance of showers on and off. Look for high around 71. 20% chance of showers yet tonight with clouds and a low of 58. Tomorrow, cloudy, no mention of rain, high 72. And Monday, back to work with a slight chance of showers and a high again in the low 70s. WXYZ Bar at Aloft Hotel features live music every Wednesday from 6 to 9. Enjoy happy hour drink specials 5 to 7 and 10 to midnight. The Aloft Minneapolis Hotel.
You are listening to the Socially Responsible Investing Show here on AM 950. I am your host, Mike Mullins. Glad you're back with us. I hope you found this show to be interesting. It's a little bit different than I've done in the past in that we, instead of having just one guest for a couple of segments, we are having three guests. So our first guest today was John Taft in the first segment. He is the CEO of RBC U.S. Wealth Management. My boss's boss's boss, and of course I was very respectful, as you heard. John told us that the company has a stewardship mission, as he sees it, a responsible management of what others have entrusted to your care. And of course, this is not just about finance, which of course RBC is a global company with businesses in 54 countries, but sees themselves as having a responsibility to leave the world a better place than when we got here. The second segment, we talked with Lynn Patterson, who is the Director of Corporate Responsibility for RBC in Toronto. And we talked a bit more about the Blue Water Project, which is the signature endeavor that RBC has taken on around the world. Instead of trying to do a whole bunch of different things, RBC thinks it'd be best to focus its energy and its power and its money, $50 million pledged over 10 years from 2007 to 2017, on working with this global water crisis. My guest right now is Peter Gove. Peter is a longtime board member and principal founder of the Friends of the Mississippi River. And Peter, it's very nice to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for including FMR in this program and for RBC's support of our work in
Absolutely.
This area.
Absolutely. I wish I could say it's my fault that you're getting all that dough, but it's not. Lynn Patterson is actually more the person that's responsible for that. But please tell us about the Friends of the Mississippi River. You called them FMR. Shall we use FMR as an abbreviation for the show?
Sure.
Okay. Please tell us about FMR.
Well, Mike, several of us established FMR in 1993 with financial support initially of the McKnight Foundation in Minneapolis. And our goal was to provide a citizen voice in the development of the comprehensive master plan for the new Mississippi National River and Recreation Area, which is sort of the Twin Cities National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make sure at the time that citizen concerns were at the table when this new National Park Service plan was put together by a broad coalition of interest groups and citizens.
Mm-hmm.
We are the leading nonprofit organization working to protect and enhance the Mississippi River and its watershed in the Twin Cities area. And we work for 17 years to ensure that the tremendous ecological, cultural, scenic, recreational values of this river are protected and can be equally shared by all citizens and for future generations.
What kind of changes have you seen over the past 17 years, Peter?
Well, I mean, all in all, there have been substantial improvements in quality of the Mississippi River water. But there a lot of work is yet to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mississippi in our region provides recreational opportunities and a sense of place for millions of residents and visitors through its numerous parks and trails that are used for hiking and biking and fishing and bird watching.
Mm-hmm.
But very importantly, the Mississippi is the source of drinking water for more than a million Minnesotans, including
mm-hmm.
everyone that lives in Minneapolis and most of the folks that live in St. Paul. So the health of the river, particularly upstream from the Twin Cities and the Minnesota River, which comes into the Mississippi at Fort Snelling, the health of the upstream segment and the Minnesota directly impacts our drinking water. FMR has three basic programs, water quality and watershed protection, land conservation, and stewardship, river corridor stewardship. And one of our key principles, Mike, is that what happens in terms of management on the land in this watershed impacts the quality of the river. And last year, we had about 3,000 volunteers and 1,500 donors, 50 foundations and corporations, including RBC's Blue Water Project, that helped support our work and help our dedicated staff be a clear voice for this segment of the Great River.
So how would you describe FMR's various activities in promoting and driving efforts to improve the quality of water in the Twin Cities region?
Well, water quality is central to our work, and what happens on the land, as I mentioned earlier, impacts water quality. A clean river depends on a clean watershed, and as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, a million Minnesotans depend on the Mississippi River for their drinking water, and nationwide, that number is closer to 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Despite considerable progress since the Federal Clean Water Act was passed in 1972, and that has helped control pollution from businesses and municipal sewage treatment plants, unfortunately, most of the Mississippi in the metro area does not yet meet state water quality standards. And our view is that clean water is everyone's responsibility. Controlling runoff in cities and in rural areas is vital for clean water and healthy communities. But there is today just too much sediment and nutrients going into the Mississippi, a significant portion coming from the Minnesota River, and a large percentage of that from farm field runoff.
Right.
Excessive nutrients from just too much fertilizer on lawns or golf courses or farms means algae blooms downstream that impact fish and local communities. One very ominous example, Mike, is that if we are not successful in reducing sediment to the Mississippi River, Lake Pepin, south of Red Wing, will start to fill in by the end of this century.
Oh, boy.
Now, that sounds inconceivable, but that is the path we are on today. And this is, in my view, and FMR's view, just not the legacy we want to leave for our children and grandchildren.
I'm absolutely.
So we're active, and with RBC's support, in a coalition of interest groups working to reverse this major challenge to Lake Pepin.
Mm-hmm.
We also work in various ways to educate Minnesotans that controlling sediment and nutrients to the river is everyone's responsibility, from collecting lawn clippings to controlling runoff from shopping center parking lots and reducing agricultural runoff through better management practice.
You know, I get the impression that, a lot of us just living our daily lives, our weekly lives around town, don't really have much of a sense of connection between what goes in a storm drain at the end of your driveway and what goes into the river. You know, that stuff does not get filtered. That stuff does not get cleaned.
No.
It just goes as, think of it as raw sewage, in a sense.
Yeah, we have separation in the Twin Cities. That was not the case in the early 70s when I was in state government, where the storm sewers and the septic sewers were one. Now, the good thing about that was that there was some treatment of the storm sewer. The problem is, whenever it rained more than maybe an inch or so, you know, the system would be overwhelmed, and both untreated storm sewer and, worse, untreated sewage went into the river. So there was a big effort in the 1970s and early 80s to separate, but the downshot of that is the point you make, that whatever goes into those storm drains, consciously or not, goes to the river. And so we're all in this together to try to restore water quality of the Mississippi. And it's not just important for drinking water, but for fishing and swimming as well.
There's absolutely
a lot of places on the river you can catch trophy fish, but you got to be very careful, you know, in terms of how much fish you eat and how often, because of, you know, the remnants of heavy metals in the river.
Right. Well, this is such a, you know, obviously a vast topic. All the different things going. We've talked about filling in of Lake Pepin from sediment from the Minnesota River. We've talked about, you alluded to, unhealthy levels of heavy metals that are in the water that become part of the fish we eat. There is the sediment. There's the issue of algae blooms. I mean, these are all issues that we all know about. It's such a huge amount of things that have to be handled. How does FMR focus itself? You know, where is the most leverage occurring right now with FMR's work?
Well, first, we're what we call a place-based organization. There's 2,200 miles of the Mississippi River. We're really focused on less than 100 miles in the Twin Cities area, from north of the metro area to the confluence of the St. Croix. So we're very targeted in our effort.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand it's all about the watershed and what happens upstream, whether it's in the headwaters of the Mississippi or on the Minnesota, makes a difference. We're very much involved in a lot of education and volunteer programs. As I said earlier, we had over 3,000 volunteers work on various projects that our financial supporters are active in, and we just keep working as hard as we can to get the message across that, you know, clean water is everyone's responsibility, and there's only so much you can do to make sewage treatment plants more efficient. It's this runoff, whether it comes from urban areas or rural areas, that needs to be controlled in terms of too much sediment and too much nutrient in those sediments.
So that's partly government recognition and regulation of these issues. But, you know, quite frankly, when we talk about responsible investing, we're looking for companies that are doing the right thing. And certainly as a business, being concerned, like RBC, but there are other businesses here, being concerned with the quality of water has everything to do with the quality of life. If you have a healthy employee base, if your company's like RBC here, yesterday we had the RBC Blue Water Day. It was our first annual Blue Water Day. And we had right around 100 volunteers, RBC employees, who gathered together at Crosby Park under the auspices of Friends of the Mississippi River. And we engaged in a fairly broad-based cleanup. And it's amazing how much stuff gets left behind by people just casually. I mean, the whole idea of picking up after yourself applies to corporations, but it certainly applies to individuals as well. The executive director of FMR, Whitney Clark, who you know very, very well, spoke, and it was just really interesting as an RBC employee, as I am, to get a sense of how interdependent RBC is with companies like, or organizations like FMR, to take care of the environment in which our companies live and work and where our people live and work.
Well, and that was a great event, and it's one of dozens of those events that occur every year under our auspices. And, you know, it is sort of discouraging sometimes to see how much litter there is around and how thoughtless some can be. You know, most people are responsible, but particularly in this time of year after the runoff, there's just a lot of work to be done along the river. And we have a lot of groups, particularly the Mississippi River Gorge in Minneapolis, that we have a group called the Gorge Stewards, that they sort of adopt a section of the riverbank by their homes, and they go pick up trash, and they remove invasive species, and they try to protect some of the historic species like the oak. And it's a great opportunity to do something in your neighborhood, and it's one of the major programs that we're involved with at FMR.
Well, how has the Blue Water Project grants actually helped FMR in pursuing these goals?
Well, you know, first, Mike, advocacy organizations, citizens-based like ourselves, can't be successful over a sustained period of time without the financial resources to hire staff and implement programs and recruit volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We raise funds from, you know, individuals, foundations, and corporations. And as you know, the last couple of years have been a difficult environment, market environment, and that's made it difficult to raise funds. So the grants we've received from the RBC Blue Water Project have been very important over the last couple of years. And we agree with the RBC that water stewardship is the issue, and RBC's priorities to protect watersheds and ensure access to clean drinking water. Your support has helped in a number of ways, helped us in stormwater standards, helped us in this Gorge Stewards program I recommend, I already mentioned, and these kinds of river cleanups. It's just helped us keep our staff deployed every day working to protect this great river.
FMR has the Mississippi River Challenge in late July. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure.
How to get information about it?
Absolutely. This is our seventh year. It's an opportunity over that weekend to canoe or kayak a 40-mile stretch of the river from Coon Rapids Dam to Gray Cloud Island with an overnight at historic Fort Snelling. And it's our seventh year on this. RBC had a team last year, and we're hoping that the RBC team will join us again this year. For more information, check the FMR website, which is fmr.org, or call 651-222-2193.
And the number again was?
651-222-2193.
Okay, well, that's terrific. I think that this is an excellent example, what we've talked about today on this show so far, of how important it is for corporations and citizens to be conscious of what's going on around you. This is our responsibility. We have to pick up the baton and see to it that we do our part to make things better in the world. Peter Gove is a longtime board member and principal founder of Friends of the Mississippi River, and I'm so happy that you were on the show today. Peter, thank you so much. Friends, we'll be back in just a couple minutes to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much, and as an RBC customer for 25 years, I'm very proud of the RBC Blue Water Project.
Thanks very much, Peter. We'll
the
right
real
back.
Estate market has gotten tougher for buyers and sellers. With available credit in short supply, buyers are looking for creative solutions to financing. And with home prices at near record lows, sellers need better options. Cherie Kewen of Waters Realty is helping both buyers and sellers navigate the maze and find the best decision for their unique situations. From rent to own, contract for deed, to short sales and bank foreclosures, you have options. Call Cherie Kewen of Waters Realty today at 612-865-9150.
There's no need to completely remodel the tile in your kitchen, patio, bathroom, or any room. Let Dick the Grout Doctor help you renew your existing tile grout to its natural beauty. The Grout Doctor can seal your grout or recolor it to better match your tile or natural stone. Let the professionals do the dirty work so you don't have to. We regrout, clean, repair, seal, or recolor any tile grout. Contact Dick at 651-261-3626. That's 651-261-3626.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two South Dakota tribes, the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate. The Rosebud Sioux Tribe built a tribally owned, full-service, independent grocery store. The $1 million SMSC grant in 2008 followed a similar $1 million grant that was awarded in 2007. The Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate built two district centers with their $1 million grant, resulting in expanded space for all kinds of community needs, like after-school programs, recreational programs, meetings, and religious services. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
It's time to get started with spring cleaning, and there's nowhere better to start than your carpet and upholstery. Zero Res uses empowered water, leaving carpets and upholstery clean with zero residue behind. And they even clean air ducts. Call now for 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for just $149. Call 651-779-8888. That's 651-779-8888. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward. It spells the same. Z-E-R-O-R-E-Z. Zero Res.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Well, I've had a good time today. It's been a very interesting show so far. This is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. This show is a little different today than what I've done the last few months, which is that it's focused on a particular company, happens to be the company I work for. You can accuse me of bias if you want. But on the other hand, I know the situation from the inside, right? So sometimes that's a good thing. I wanted to talk about a company, RBC, because we've just had the first annual Blue Water Day yesterday, and this was a worldwide effort on the part of RBC employees. Royal Bank of Canada is what RBC stands for. RBC Wealth Management is my company, and this is the company that until about 2 years ago was known as RBC Dane Rauscher. And for those of you that have been around for a while, have been investors for a while, it was Dane Rauscher. I first was introduced to the securities industry in 1986 when I was hired by Dane Bosworth. And some of you go back even farther than that, back into the 70s when the company was called Dane, Coleman, and Quayle. Company's been in town since 1909, and then the Royal Bank of Canada bought Dane Rauscher in 2000, closed in 2001. So now we're RBC Wealth Management. And this company, RBC, the Royal Bank of Canada, has clearly been around a lot longer time than they've owned Dane Rauscher. RBC is an example, really a shining example, of corporate stewardship in the world. And as I talk about sustainable companies, and where can you go as an investor to find companies that are least likely to blow up on you and to give you bad news that's of a non-financial reporting nature? I mean, everybody understands that companies don't always make the money that was expected. Sometimes they do better, but that's kind of in the normal expectation range of what companies are going to report to you. What we want is to find companies that are least likely to give us surprises that are of a non-financial nature, such as lawsuits by employee groups. You may know a company that's pretty well known in the United States is going through that right now, and the damage to their reputation and to their share price of their stock is significant. There's just no way around it. So if you can find companies that are good corporate neighbors, that really put themselves out, that have a code of conduct and a sense of values in their company that are able to translate into action in the community, those are the kinds of opportunities you want to find. Now, on my website, michaelwmullins.com, there are some navigation tabs on the left side. I'm looking at my webpage right now. And on the responsible investing heading, if you click on that, you will go to a page that has several website connections. And one of those is called the Sustainability Index. You can look for water. You can look for water-related companies, in this case, that demonstrate good business practices. And then you can drill down to find investments that you can believe in. One place to look may be among the companies listed in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. There is a Global Sustainability Index, a North American Sustainability Index, really all over the world. There's a Korea Sustainability Index. The metric that's used to determine who goes on that list has everything to do with how they demonstrate being a corporate good neighbor. In the case of RBC, it's focused on the Blue Water Project that we've spoken about. John Taft was our first guest, and he is the CEO of RBC U.S. Wealth Management. And he talked about the stewardship mission that the company has, seeing ourselves as a company, as responsible stewards, with really four pillars. One is to our clients, responsibility to our employees, responsibility to the communities in which we live and work. And look, it's not just where the companies, banks, and brokerage offices are. It's also where the employees live. I live in this town, too, and it's important to me that it's clean. And then the environment. And, of course, that's the focus of the Blue Water Project, is in the environment. John talked about that this focus on clean water is in 54 countries, and the effort yesterday on Blue Water Day, the first annual Blue Water Day, there were efforts in 54 countries to do things as RBC employees, as I did yesterday, to help really represent being a good citizen and as an individual and a good employee of a good company that's doing good things. And we'll talk about other good companies in the future, but I wanted to start here. Our second guest was Lynn Patterson, the Director of Corporate Responsibility for RBC. We talked to her in Toronto. And she is the person in charge of the Blue Water Project. And she told me that the impact on employees has been terrific in the sense that it certainly engenders quite a bit of pride that the company's doing a good thing. They've put $50 million bucks up. They've granted $21 million bucks so far to be given between 2007 and 2017. And the Friends of the Mississippi River, right here in the Twin Cities, it started in the 1970s, has received two grants from the RBC Blue Water Project. Peter Gove was our third guest, and he is the longtime board member and founding, let's see, how shall I say this, founding member, I guess, of the board for the Friends of the Mississippi River. And it was started and funded by corporations here in the Twin Cities. In particular, he mentioned the McKnight Foundation. You might know that's connected with 3M as a way to get this off the ground and be a citizen's voice for the massive efforts that took place in the 1970s to kind of try to clean up the Mississippi River, because we depend on it so heavily, so mightily for our drinking water and recreation as well, as Peter pointed out. So that's the Blue Water Project. Now, there are other corporations in the Twin Cities that are very, very well known for their good neighborliness, their philanthropic efforts. And we will, over a period of the next year, use them as further examples. But keep in mind, what we're really looking for is companies that are not going to blow up on us as investors, that are going to be able to provide a reliable stream of dividend income, if that's something that's important to you, and I think it should be important to most people, as a source of total return. And I think when you think about your investments and you think about where you should be, one of the things you should consider, in my view, is what's in your portfolio now? What kinds of companies are you invested in? I mean, it's a pretty easy stretch to say, gee, I wonder if I have any BP in my portfolio. If you got a stock mutual fund, chances are really good that you do, or you did. The mutual fund manager may have held on, or they may have sold out. I have no way of knowing, with each individual mutual fund manager having a different approach to that. But reviewing what you have is very important. And then think about making some changes to what your portfolio holds. For example, if you've got a generic growth fund or a growth and income fund or an equity income fund from one of the major companies, chances are good that there are a lot of companies in there that would not meet the criteria for being a sustainable company. Fortunately, there is a sustainability index I've mentioned that's on my website, michaelwmullins.com. Go to the page that says Responsible Investing, and you'll see a link to the sustainabilityindexes.com. There are a lot of outstanding, high-performing mutual funds in the marketplace offered by socially responsible investment companies, and I would really encourage you to give me a call and have a look. Go online, pull up something. There's also on the website, there's something that says socialfunds.com. That's a great area, a great website to go to explore that. Well, this coming week, we're going to be talking about home building, and we're going to be talking especially about the role of architects in helping home builders build homes that people want to live in. Sounds kind of generic. We'll tune in next week, and we'll talk about that. It's a very important topic. And this is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. It's been my pleasure to be with you today. I hope you have a great afternoon.